Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Andrea Gould-Marks, Dr. Andrea, and today's episode is about sheltering in place with children. So we have a couple of guests. We have both families living in Southern Arizona. We have Amy Peck, who is the mother of three with two teenage boys at home. And we have Christy Hammer, who has five children. Four were at home and now five are at home, I understand, because there's a college student at home. So we've got all these different temperaments in one place at the same time, which makes a great psychological stew. And we're here to talk about that. So welcome, ladies. How's it going?
All things considered, not too badly. I was really kind of dreading this time just because we would all be close together without getting to interact with the real world, but we're making it through. I don't know if we could do it a whole lot longer than through August, but right now we're making it work.
You're holding your own. How about you, Amy? How is it going for you there?
Things haven't changed as much here as it has for a lot of people. We live in kind of a more rural area, and so the kids can go out when they need to and go in the backyard and yell and scream and jump out of trees when they need to do that kind of stuff. So things haven't changed so much here.
What about homeschooling? So let me go back to Christy. So you've got a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old.
Correct.
A 14-year-old.
Yep.
A 16-year-old or
an 18-year-old.
And that's the only girl?
Yes.
And then now we have a returnee.
We do. And the thing with him is that, so my in-laws have a house about 5 minutes away, so he's able to go and sleep there and work on his work. So he comes back. He comes back for food mostly, but I think that's part of the reason why we're doing okay is because we're not adding him in full time. You know, he's here but not here full time. If he were here with us, it would be a lot more challenging, I think, because he doesn't have his own space here because we've, you know, there's many kids, and so we moved him around when he left.
Right. Was there any feedback from him about not having his room when he came back?
No, actually, I think he just sort of expected that was what was going to happen. The oldest of five, yeah.
Right. So he's a student.
Yes.
How about the 18-year-old?
So she's graduating this year. So she's going through what she calls a spring of letdowns. So it's been a challenge for her. She was supposed to go over to Europe over spring break in the beginning of April, and that was canceled. And then, of course, all of the regular senior activities have been canceled for her. She just had to take AP tests this last week. And next week, she is going to get a graduation of sorts. It's not going to be like the traditional graduation, but the high school has been working really hard to make it something special that they are going to remember. And it's going to be unique. It's not going to be like anything else anybody else gets to do. So in that, it's okay. She's starting to look forward to next year. Hopefully she'll be able to leave and do that. She's got a pretty good, sometimes the attitude is she's fine. She doesn't seem to have a whole
depression.
No, there's not that the depression. I'm sorry. There's stuff going on in the background. So there's not a lot of depression from what she's telling me, but she's pretty stoic. So
it's a pretty hard thing. I'm most concerned, really, about those who are graduating high school and those who are graduating college. But your boy is not graduating college. No. He's what, a sophomore?
Yes, currently a sophomore.
But your daughter, mm-hmm. described it so well, right? It's a semester of letdowns. Mm-hmm. And especially when the kids get old enough in their teens, like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they look forward so much to the right. social life. And so it's sad. Now, Amy, you have also a 17-year-old.
Is a 16-year-old.
Oh, he's 16.
Yeah.
Is he missing the socializing?
They're getting their socializing through, I mean, it sounds terrible, but I think a lot of parents are in the same boat saying, oh my gosh, thank goodness for video games, because they can talk to each other through their games. And, you know, as much as we're all hating the video games as babysitter or as friend, that's kind of the situation a lot of people are in. And I don't think it's a horrible thing. You know, parents are just kind of trying to do the best they can to maintain sanity for now. And maybe that will look different eventually. But like for right now, that's how they're mostly talking to their friends. They're kind of homebodies anyway, so it's not horrible for them, but they're missing going out and doing like some activities with their friends, like doing sports stuff with their friends. My youngest is graduating from, is being promoted from eighth grade, and they're doing something for them too. But Christy was telling me the other day about what they're doing for seniors at their high school.
I thought it was really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. So go ahead and describe in great detail this special event that's being planned.
So what they're doing, they're calling it a drive-through graduation. And what that means is that each student, so it's going to be for two nights, next Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on each night, so the students will be are broken up into 15-minute segments. So there's about 10 students for every 15 minutes. And they will drive on to one side of the track, and the stage will be set up for them at the end of the football field like it normally is. And they'll drive up, and everyone can decorate their cars and put balloons and banners or whatever on their cars. They will drop the student off on one side of the stage, and then the car will drive around to the other side of the stage. And so as their student is crossing the stage, they can take pictures, they can yell and hoop and holler and do all of that. And then there'll be a parade through the school grounds, and there'll be places throughout the grounds to get out and take pictures and to collect their special, like their diplomas and stuff. So it's going to be kind of like a parade of sorts, you know, starting with the actual graduation walk across the stage and then ending as they drive through the school grounds.
Is somebody going to hand them a diploma?
Yes. I'm not
while we're on the stage.
I think my understanding is we're going to be off the stage, but I don't know. I usually just show up and they tell me where to stand, and I'll be handing the diploma cases out at one point, and then there will be a place at another part of the campus that they'll actually hand them their diploma.
So you're on the school board.
Were you part of
how many people on the school board?
There are five of us.
Were you part of the brainstorming about what to do with graduation, or was that already decided?
No, we were definitely part of the brainstorming. We had a meeting, when was it? May 5th. We all got together, and that was one of the things that we sort of brainstormed. Now, the administration had come up with different options of things that might happen, and as we talked through some of the different options, we felt like this was the best way that both recognized the student and gave them an opportunity to have a sense of closure right now instead of stretching it out through the summer. The other thing, in addition to the graduation, they're hoping, I think they're really going to work on trying to bring the seniors back like in the end of June and end of July, And so the seniors will have one more time to be with their friends before they all disperse off into their next chapter of their lives.
What's their vision for how to bring them together with the distancing?
I don't know. That's part of what they're trying to discern at this point, to see if it's something that they can come up with. So
none of us know, right? We don't know what June and July are going to look like. There's the other aspect of this is there's, you know, okay, it's summer, yay. A lot of us were planning on sending kids off to camps, you know, summer camps or vacations or whatever, scheduled for June and July. And the camps don't even know if they're going to be holding camps. Not all of them have been called off. Some of them have, some of them haven't. It's all very up in the air still.
So let's just talk about uncertainty, because very often the conversation in a family is, Mom, when will, you know, how is, you know, all those questions about when and all that uncertainty. And Christy, you've got such a variety of children. What have you noticed about their need for certainty or not, or their tolerance for uncertainty?
So the older ones are a little easier with the uncertainty, I think, only because they kind of understand why this is happening. They don't like it. They wish they could be out in around their people and hanging out, but I think they do okay. My 9-year-old who has Down syndrome, I don't think he understands what's going on at all. And so it's very difficult for him to understand any of this. And he really needs to be out and about. He's such a social butterfly. My youngest, he needs certainty, but I don't know if he needs certainty about when this all will end as much as just other kinds of certainty.
Like day-to-day kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he's happy with how things are going, primarily because everything is, we're doing the same things day to day.
So that will bring us to a conversation about what's normal and the new normal, and maybe even how long it took each of us to get, if you will, used to this particular normal. And maybe when we come back, we can also talk a little bit about the gifts, because sometimes in a crisis, there's also opportunities. And many of us who are relatively comfortable and not immediately threatened in terms of food supply and in terms of financial emergency, have begun to recognize what some of the special gifts are in this time. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of those things with Christy Hammer, Amy Peck, and your host, Dr. Andrea, for Boomhouse Radio. Welcome back, and I'm Dr. Andrea, and we're having a family kind of discussion today with Amy Peck and Christy Hammer, both of whom have children who are home and dependent on them during this unsettled time. So how are you taking care of yourself, Christy, during this time? Have you any personal time for yourself, and how does that get managed?
Not as well as I could be.
Okay.
Not as well as I could be taking care of myself, for sure. There's not any me time, and so that's really stressful. I've been used to them being at school in the mornings and, you know, being able to be by myself and sort of collect my thoughts. So that has been a different situation and a little bit more difficult.
That's a kind way to put it. Right. So what happens when you don't get to have time for yourself? Is it just an exercise in a massive amount of self-control? Or is there a way that you've been able to achieve a couple of outlets for yourself?
So one of the things that I like to do prior to everything being shut down is go to the gym. And I've been going to the gym for a while, and in the last year or so, I've been more regular, and I didn't realize how much I missed that sort of physical outlet. And so sometimes it's easier now to not do things like go, even just walking around the neighborhood, which is what I've been doing. I don't do that as often as I could or should. But sometimes if I'm really wound, I know that that's a good thing for me to do.
And with the five children there, are there any that you can count on to manage the younger ones so that you can have time for yourself?
Yes, my daughter, who's leaving me in August. She's like my main, she's like the mini me. So she's always been really good at managing her younger siblings.
Case in point. We have family conversation going on.
She's really good. We call her, especially with him, Johann Whisper, because she's good at sort of getting him to do what he needs to do. She can translate sometimes for him. And she's really good with my youngest too, being able to just interact in a way that's not hard. I mean, she's very calm and patient with them most of the time. And when I'm losing my calm and patience, she can step in and help sort of mitigate.
Wonderful. But you said that you might be losing her in August. Where is she planning to go?
At this moment, she's planning on going to Villanova. That is her plan in Pennsylvania. So
fingers crossed.
Yep.
For her.
Yeah, she is anxious to go, and I'm excited for her to go. I'm getting more excited as she's getting closer to going, because I understand how important this is for her, an important part of life, really. You know, I always say that college is, you get to try on being an adult without having to really be an adult. You get to be away from your family, but everything's still taken care of for you, so you can.
It's a real major luxury.
Right.
I was listening to the news, I'm very cautious about listening to the news. Mm-hmm. I titrate my dose of news. But I caught the chancellor of the universities in California saying that it wasn't going to be business as usual for them.
Right.
In September. Is she prepared for that letdown?
She is. I think with her, it's just she understands what the reality is, and she doesn't like it, but she understands that it's, you know, she would rather be safe and have everything be safe than
put herself at risk.
Correct. Or anybody else at risk too.
Got that. Amy, the same question for you in terms of self-care. What do you got?
Well, the other day I did have to get in the car and just drive around the block because, yeah, that just had to happen. Because I just had to like leave the house for just a little bit and calm down and count to 10. But one thing that Christy and I have always enjoyed together was going grocery shopping together. So that's like our social hour. Once a week, we would go grocery shopping together and make our little rounds and go to the Costco and go to the grocery and go to the Target. And luckily, we've still been able to do that at least a little bit. That's kind of our mom time where we can get out easily. Yep. So the stores are, not all of them are requiring masks, but now Costco requires a mask. So we go out with our masks. The thing that we've noticed about shopping is that in general, the store might be busy, but the stores are quieter. So there's not the, Christy and I normally create conversations with the cashiers because we see the same workers every week. And we like to socialize while we're out. And the conversations, the friendly banter that goes on in stores isn't going on as much. And that makes us kind of, probably sillier.
Yeah, it's more of a sober environment, but it's sweet that the two of you get to have that kind of social time. It's super important. And creativity has been looming and bursting in many places. It's one of the things that's been sort of the gift of this time. Have you noticed any surprising gifts in this time of confinement, or when you've got more time with family, there an upside that you can speak about?
Well, for me, one of the gifts is being able to see my college age child. In the last year, we would only see him once, like for 1 week or 2 weeks at a time. And even last summer, he was working up at the college. And so all of last calendar year, we saw him for maybe 4 weeks. So one of the gifts is that I've been able to see him for 2 months now, which I have enjoyed. I know he would rather be up back in college, and I would rather him be there too. But that has been one of the gifts that I have seen, is that I get to see my son, and he likes being around us, which is another blessing, because he's outgrown that teenage angsty, I don't like my parents phase. So that's been a gift for me, and he, just in our house.
Yeah. So you've got another adult there, which is somebody you like.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. How about you, Amy? Any gifts you can to speak of? Or opportunities? Sometimes it's just an opportunity.
Yeah. I have noticed that in helping my 14-year-old with his homework a little more closely, because he's doing work that he would normally do in school, he's doing at home. And he's always struggled with school. And so I'm getting a closer look at exactly what he struggles with. So that's been enlightening. The other thing, same kid, has been fixing things around the house to avoid doing his schoolwork. So he has repaired a hoe handle that had broken. He has fixed some tile on one of our patio tables, and he's built some wacky things. So that's been kind of fun to watch, even though he's avoiding doing his schoolwork. I know his teachers would agree that in unleashing his creativity and in learning to do more things around the house, that they are getting a different kind of education that is equally as valuable.
It's interesting. I came upon a list of skills that the author was saying are things that are not generally learned in school at all grade levels or for all kids. And they were things that included fixing things, and at the same time how to keep a checkbook in order, how to cook. There were things on that list that, sewing buttons on, things that really go by the wayside. I'll see if I can surface the list. Maybe I can put it in the show notes. But parents weren't always train themselves to be homeschoolers.
And right. I've heard it called bachelor training, what you're talking about too.
Bachelor training?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we weren't always trained to be teachers, no.
No, for sure not. And so I think there are a lot of people who are discovering that they have a penchant for a tendency or a love for teaching. There are a lot of
girls
around that are liking it. No, the two of you are saying, no, that's not one of the things. Okay, right. And there are a couple of tangles sometimes that happens with conflicting, you have conflicting family members. Like, I know that both of you still have mothers. How does that complicate matters at all for either of you?
It does for me, because my mom is living in Colorado, and she's had a rough last year, and just medically she's had some concerns and some issues, and so she doesn't drive anymore. So she was self-isolating before it was the in thing to do, and during all of this, my sister, who lives in Colorado, not too far from her, we believe she contracted the COVID virus. And so that was a bit of a concerning time, because my mom was, of course, worried about her. We were all worried about my sister. But then if something need to happen and we need to go get, you know, take care of my mom for whatever reason, she obviously wasn't able to do it, and the possibility of me having to leave my kids here in Arizona and head out to Colorado was concerning, because I have, you know, 5 kids that I'm trying to maintain, and then just making sure that I'm keeping my mom safe. I don't want to be bringing things to her, so it makes it a little bit more challenging.
And that's an example that has gone on in so many houses, those conflicts of interest. I really want to thank both of you for even taking the time away from your incredibly overloaded schedules to spend a little time talking to our audience from the standpoint of weathering this storm with kids present. So thank you so much, Christy. Thank you so much, Amy. And you've heard from us. Now we'd like to hear from you folks in the listening audience. So if anybody has some good stories to share with us about mothering or parenting during this time, we would love to hear from you. And again, as always, we are so grateful for all of the people who are allowing us to shelter in place. Thanks for listening.
For more information, visit our website, boomgoddessradio.com, and follow us on Facebook, Boom Goddess. We'd love to hear from you. Your interest powers our programs.